This week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisavo, opens up with the mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim, the new fruit, that the time to bring it starts on Shavuos, is when it says the first opportunity to bring it. You know, so the halachas of bringing the new fruit, which is a mitzvah that Bava Mosein Aram we don't have in this day and age. So the Medrash Tanchuma says an amazing thing, that Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw in his prophecy that the Beis HaMikdash would eventually be destroyed, and therefore the mitzvah of Bikurim would become annulled during the time that there is no Beis HaMikdash. And to compensate for that, he instituted that Jews have to daven 3 times a day. So according to his Medrash Tanchuma, the din of davening 3 times a day, which everyone agrees is only midrabban, it's only rabbinic, but the one who made that rabbinical edict was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And why? To compensate for the fact that Bikurim was not going to be forever. Right? So even though Bikurim is just once a year, right? So because we don't have, you know, to compensate for that once a year opportunity, we have to daven every single day, 3 times a day. Why? Like, why does it take davening 3 times a day every day to compensate for Bikurim that's just once a year? Now, we really have to analyze this medrash closely. It doesn't say that that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted davening, because everyone knows, as Gemara and Bracha says, davening, the concept of prayer in general, was already instituted. Avraham Avinu instituted Shacharis. Yitzhak Avinu instituted Mincha. Yaakov Avinu instituted Maariv. Right, and there are psukim to prove it, to come up in the course of the lives of each of these avos. Right, so what Moshe Rabbeinu added to what the avos just instituted 3 different prayers, but you didn't have to daven them all. You could choose prior to Moshe Rabbeinu's decree that everyone has to daven 3 times a day. You didn't have to daven 3 times. You could choose. You do Shacharis. If you don't want to do Shacharis, you do Mincha. You don't want to do it. Right, you would choose which one of these 3 different prayers that were already instituted would be your prayer for that day. Right, but Moshe Rabbeinu comes and institutes, no, it's got to be 3 times a day. Right, this is a point to focus at. What Moshe Rabbeinu added that there wasn't already from the patriarchs was you have to daven 3 times a day. Not either Shacharis or Mincha or Maariv, but 3 times a day you have to daven. So it's 3 times a day that's the compensation for not having the Bikurim once a year. So we really have to ask ourselves something. You know, why do we daven 3 times a day? Right? We ask God already in the morning, right? And he heard our prayers. He is all-knowing. He is all-loving. And if it's the best thing for us, we'll get it. You know, it's all right. So we have to ask. We asked already. Why do you have to ask a second time? Why do you ask that for the third time? For what purpose? All right? If it's something special about asking, you asked already. All right? You asked already. Why do you have to ask again? Say about 3 times. 3 times. Okay. So we know that the concept of 3 in both Jewish law and in Jewish philosophy represents a total state. Right, in Jewish law, 3 times is a chazakah. Once you've done something 3 times, that's considered now the status quo. It's not considered something that you have happened to do once or twice. Once 3 times, it's a chazakah, it's a status quo. Right, and in Jewish philosophy also, by the same token, 3 times represents a absolute state. You know, the pasuk says, "Achut hamishur shalom b'meheri natek," the triple rope is not easily broken. Right, so it's like a total state, you know, it's an enduring state. Right, davening 3 times a day is that a person, it establishes a status quo. A person is a perpetual prayer. Right, he is a perpetual davener. He is always in a state of davening. So you can't perform that literally because you also have to eat and you also have to sleep. And most importantly, you have to learn Torah. Right, so you can't literally be davening perpetually. But if you're doing it 3 times a day, you're becheskas tefillah. You are considered in a status quo of being a man who prays. not that you pray when you need. You are a prayer. You are, in essence, a person who prays. Right? So you're in a perpetual state of prayer. Right? Three times makes that you're in a perpetual state of prayer. Why is it important to be in a perpetual state of prayer before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's smart enough to understand what you want after asking only once. But being in a perpetual state of prayer means that we acknowledge that we're forever eating out of God's hands. Now, it's something very deep, right? Anything that you have, you will not have forever because it gets depleted. It gets used up, right? Whether it's food that you eat it up, whether it's fuel that you burn, or even if it's not something that you literally consume, like, let's say, an appliance, right? You don't eat an appliance, you don't burn an appliance, but the appliance will eventually burn out. It will not last, right? Because once something comes within our reality is under time, and things that are under time age, right? And as they age, they either get eaten up, depleted, or just get old and break, right? So there's no such thing as perpetual newness within our reality. If God would, you know, you'd ask him, and he'd just give you, in response to your request, so it's called that he took it out of his domain and put it into your domain, and that's not the best thing for you, right? For two reasons. First of all, because the minute you'll get what you ask to get from God, you'll forget about God, right? So that's why it's very bad for you, is that, all right, thanks God, and then you forget about God because you don't need him for the time being. So that's how it's bad for you, that you've lost contact with God. But it's even not good for what you did get, because since God deposited by you and, you know, said goodbye, you know, take it, bye, right? So because that's now by you and it's in your reality of time-space, right? Since now it's under time and space, this resources that God grants you, those resources are not going to last, right? It'll only be a matter of time before they burn out, you know, or fall apart. Like everything that goes within time and space, doesn't last. Nothing lasts. Kol Haiva Nifsa, everything that exists eventually dissolves. When the Rambam said they're saying, you know, all these things are within space-time. Right? So, but if you leave it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't want to take it, you know, take it away from God. Ask it as a way of taking it away from God and bringing it to you. But, you know, you want to perpetually leave it by God, leave it by God, and therefore perpetually need to ask for it, right? So that's two good things come out of that. That you, first of all, are perpetually considered in front of God. You are, you know, so even though you're not literally perpetually praying, but three times it sets a status quo that you are a man who prays before God. You're in that status, right? You're a muhsuk as being a mispalo, right? So you're perpetually in front of God. You're never losing your contact with him, right? You don't want to take his goodness and then not have, therefore, not have anything to do with him anymore, God forbid, right? You want to take, leave the goodness by him and be perpetually coming back to him for it. So you should always be before him, number one. But number two, on a, you know, on a deeper level, right, leaving the goodness by him, always eating out of God's hands, for lack of a better way to explain it, is going to leave it perpetual, because God is above time, God is above space, God is eternal and unaging, right? So if you're getting it from him, so the goodness that you'll get from him, since it's not something you want to take to yourself and take within yourself, you're leaving that goodness by him, that goodness will be everlasting and eternal. Right? It's a very deep point. And this is what the Bikurim represented. The Bikurim were the new fruits, right? You know, there's no greater satisfaction, as all the Svarim explained, right? There's no greater pleasure from something as when it's fresh and it's new. It's like the first. It's the first of the new crop. It's the first of the new year. You know, the newness is such a, you know, is so dear, right? And so exciting. After that, it gets old and it gets boring and I've been there and done that, right? The newness is like when something's at its height, right? And God says, leave the newness by me. The new that you just got, you saw it, give it back to me. Leave the newness by me. Right? Don't take it for yourself and absorb it in yourself, because if you absorb it within yourself, it'll get old, it'll get boring, it will not be everlasting. Leave the newness by me, and it will be forever new. You hear that? Leave the newness by me, and it'll be forever new. Leave the newness by me, and you'll forever have wonderful contact with me. Right? Always a fresh contact with me. Leave the concept of newness with me, and that way, you know, the goodness will never get old, the goodness will never be depleted, and more importantly, our relationship with God will always have this taste of newness and freshness. Let's give the goodness back, the goodness of newness, always give it back to God. Right? And so this, you know, power of Bikurim was so profound, it had a ripple effect on the whole year, right? That a person can always feel perpetual newness, right? And especially in his Torah learning, that there's a din, b'chol yu b'enecha k'chadashim, always look at Torah as new, and look at your relationship with God as if it's new. And Rashi brings that this din in this week's parsha, he sees it in a few different psukim, not just once, right? And that comes up in this week's parsha, because that's what Bikurim enabled. Newness, and a everlasting newness, an everlasting freshness, because you leave the newness and freshness by God. That's why it's everlasting. And that's why it takes davening three times a day to compensate that, just to, you know, what the ripple effect that the Bikurim had on the whole year, right? Well, such a profound experience of leaving the freshness and newness by God. So now, you know, it's leaving it by God is what makes it eternal, and also, conversely, gives a time of newness and freshness in your relationship with God and Torah perpetually. The ripple effect that had on the whole year was so profound that it can only be made up for with davening three times a day, because that makes it clear to you you're always facing God, you're always eating out of God's hands, you never took it for yourself. We read Parshas Kisavo, Chazal say, you know, the Psikta, because it represents, you know, in this week's Parsha, the curses, if we don't obey God, I've read, Tech L'shono Kosel, Tach L'shono Bir Kosel, let the old year end with all the curses, like this year is about to end and go into the past. We want it to take into the past. All the curses should go into the past with it, go into oblivion with it. But Tach L'shono Bir Kosel, let the new year begin with all its blessings. The lesson of keeping the fresh new year, always fresh and always new, is to leave newness by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Always be eating out of his hands. Leave the newness and freshness by him, and that way it will always be new, and that way it will always be fresh. And the only way we can feel that bizman hazeh is through the wonderful opportunity we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day.